going in faith, our mission from Christ. And I'm highlighting aspects of the new pastoral plan that Holy Family Church will be using as we prepare for our 150th anniversary in 2026. Last weekend, I said that one of the major goals is to hopefully renovate the former school building into a parish mission center, in which the parish offices will be moved there, which will make it physically accessible to all, in which we renovate the classrooms for meeting space for faith formation activities, as well as the activities of our ministries and organizations. We'll even renovate the bathrooms in there to help us, particularly during weddings and funerals and all, to provide proper hospitality for people. But I invite you to envision a growing Sunday school of religion in those classrooms, growing adult faith formation opportunities, proper meeting space for our ministries and organizations. Even though we have a large footprint, we do not have a lot of meeting space. And that school building has sat there empty for several years. When I first got here, we had a tenant. The tenant decided to leave, and we had put it on the market for 2 years, and we really did not have any viable takers who could serve as a tenant. And then, prior to the pandemic, we were thinking, the parish is growing, and it would be good to renovate the former school building into a parish mission center. And certainly we would have items in the center to remember our school that existed from 1961 to 2010. I invite you to envision that as something that is needed. We need that building, that part of our building, to be occupied, not empty, and we need to use it for our good purposes, to advance the mission of our parish. I also said that we would help help parishioners to discover their gifts or to affirm the gifts and talents the Lord has given to them and to see how they can contribute to the life of the parish in this way. But even if you feel you cannot join a organizational parish, you can pray. Pray for the parish. Pray for the implementation of this pastoral plan, which will be printed in full very soon. Or when you want to make a greater impact on parishioners and newcomers and our communities, God is glorified. However, the devil is horrified. And just as the devil wanted to prevent Jesus from fulfilling his divine mission to reconcile humanity with God, from the beginning of his ministry on the earth with the three temptations, all the way up to his crucifixion on the cross, when there were people who ridiculed him and said, if you're the Son of God, come down off that cross and we'll believe you. So the enemy of our souls will want to attack those who want to make a greater impact for God. Now let me be clear, there can be valid disagreement or doubt about one goal or another in the plan, and this is not the work of the enemy. However, there can be virulent dissension that can attempt to distract us from keeping first things first. Our energies must be directed to the mission of this parish, which is to help people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and bless our communities. And even when we have fellowship activities, it is to strengthen the bonds of communion that we have with one another as a church and to invite others to join us in following Christ. Keeping first things first was the theme last Sunday. This Sunday's theme is our motivation to fulfill our mission. For as we look to the gospel reading today, love for God and others is our motivation to fulfill our parish mission from Christ. It is our response to the sacrificial and self-giving love of God. The virtue of love means to care for the person, to promoting what is for their true and lasting good, as God defines what is good. To experience salvation in Christ is the greatest good that we can promote. To help people to grow in their faith as we embrace life's opportunities and encounter life's challenges is part of the greatest good that we can promote. We said in the responsorial psalm, or sang, "I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me." And that is what God has done through his passion, death, and resurrection. He has rescued us from the bondage of sin and death. He has freed us to live as his beloved children. For when we abused our freedom, we allowed those bondages to be in place. But God did not give up on us. The mission field is not our campus. Our campus is the mission center. It's a sanctification center as well, in which the Lord enriches us and empowers us to live as Christians within our network of relationships. Parents who continue to raise their children in the practice of the faith, godparents who help them in that commitment, although grandparents do that too, even offering to pray for someone is part of that. Some people may discount prayer, but we cannot. And it is an expression of care and love for a person to intercede for them before the throne of grace, trusting that God will provide what they need at the right time. There are many other examples, but all of us have a role in this mission, even if it's prayer. For prayer is very important, even if it is to worship during Sunday Holy Mass, because that's the most important thing that the parish does. And the graces that flow from participating in worship is the fuel, if you will, that helps us to advance our parish mission. It must be the foundation. Otherwise, our mission will not glorify God, but really become self-serving, pointing to us. For when we hear the command of the Lord, "Do this in memory of me," certainly he talks about the most holy Eucharist. But then as we are nourished by his very life and love, we're called to continue to live our lives in memory of him who is alive and who is truly acting within us through the ongoing grace of holy baptism. But if we are motivated to fulfill the mission because of our love for God and love for others, we have to truly accept that God loves us. Otherwise, we cannot give what we do not have. And in the gospel reading, we see a contrast between John the Apostle and Peter the Apostle. John the Apostle referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he was not referring to an exclusive relationship with Jesus. John the Apostle was humbly referring to himself, but he wanted others to know that they are beloved disciples of the Lord too. For this phrase comes up in his gospel, "When the passion of the Lord begins." John the Apostle is deeply moved by the self-giving and sacrificial love of God in Christ. John the Apostle knew that he was loved by God, that through the Lord's love, he could experience the forgiveness of his sins. He could trust in the command that the Lord had given on that first Easter Sunday evening, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Peter the Apostle needed assurance that he was a beloved disciple of the Lord. He had heard Jesus' words as well, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," on the first Easter Sunday evening. But he had betrayed the Lord three times before the Lord was crucified, even though he said he would not do that. I've said to the parish before that numbers mean something. When we say holy, 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 we're saying God is the holiest, because in the original language, the Hebrew, it wasn't a one word for the superlative, so they would use the word three times. So imagine that Peter utterly, completely denied the Lord. But he recognized what he had done and repented with sorrow. Even though the Lord had reconciled Peter to himself, he thought he was disqualified from fulfilling his role in the mission of the church. The chief apostle probably thought that his vocation from the Lord had been revoked. But the Lord said, not so. And the Lord says that to every disciple. Our continuing to undergo conversion does not mean that we should be reticent, that we are followers of Christ within his church, and to invite others to trust in Christ, who forgives us of our sin and provides us with a framework for living in keeping with our great dignity as people created in God's image and likeness. We cannot give the excuse that we're not worthy. All of us are not worthy. Someone came to me and said, I'm worthy to be a disciple of Christ. I would say, well, you're not a disciple of Christ. We trust that we are disciples because God gave us a gift that we did not deserve, but he wants us to have. So the Lord reaches out to Peter. For when we see in the gospel reading, Peter decided, I'm going fishing, and he wasn't looking for dinner. He was going back to things that had happened before he was called to be a disciple. Look at the call of St. Peter in the Gospel of Luke, I believe around chapter 5, where the very same events would happen. He said, I'm going fishing. Some of the other apostles said, I'm going with you. Peter had given up. He said, the Lord cannot use me. I'm going back to my former way of life. And in events that harken back to the first time Peter was called, Jesus said, have you caught anything? They said, no. Well, put your nets on the right side of the ship. They followed Jesus' instructions. They picked up a great amount of fish, 153, which represent the nations of the world. The beloved disciple recognized it was Jesus, and Peter was ashamed. And Jesus wanted Peter to confront his shame. So after the breakfast, Jesus asked Peter three times, did he love him? Three times. Same number in which Peter denied the Lord. In the Greek, there are different words for love. The love between friends, the love between romantic partners, the love between family members, such as a parent and child, and also the self-giving, sacrificial love of God. So in the original language, Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you have the self-giving, sacrificial love of God for me? And Peter responded, Lord, you know I love you with friendly affection. Jesus asked again, Peter, do you have the self-giving, sacrificial love of God within you that moves you to love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you with friendly affection. And then Jesus said, Peter, do you love me with friendly affection? And Peter was upset because he thought he had failed again. Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you with friendly affection." And Jesus was willing to take Peter from where he is, but he said that as Peter continued to give his life over to the Lord, he would bring Peter to where he was called to be, what all of us are called to be. People in God's image and likeness who strive to love as God loves. And Peter resumed his call to discipleship, his call to be the chief apostle, and eventually gave his life for the Lord, stretching out his hands. And the legend goes, he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner of the Lord, so he asked to be crucified upside down. We're called to be crucified too, but for those who will not face violent persecution, we're called again to die to self and live for God. And to know that our continuing to undergo conversion does not disqualify us from our role in fulfilling the mission of the church, particularly in this parish. The Lord's going to say that's an excuse. And he'll point to St. Peter, the apostle, who at one point didn't think he was qualified, but God made him qualified. God makes all of us qualified. And so before we talk about going in faith to fulfill the mission, we have to believe that we are so called, even sinners who are being saved by the grace of God. Accept this sacrificial, self-giving love of God for you, as I strive to do for myself. Believe that what God has called you and I to do, we have the capacity to do it. Love for God and for others is our motivation for fulfilling our mission from Christ.